This is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. Yes, last week of the Triple F, meaning family-friendly films.
Yeah, so this week we're diving into more of your not just G-rated films. We're doing more PG, PG-13, and live and action plus animation.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty much. And we're kicking off this week with the less seen 1992 film Cool World. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, people who've seen it know what it is. People who haven't seen it is like, what is that? We will enlighten you what it is.
Right. I mean, this film is PG-13.
Yes.
And that might be because of some of the overtones, undertones of like sex happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
The main cartoon character is definitely feels inspired by Jessica Rabbit.
Mm-hmm. From Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Right. So this is Cool World is about a comic strip femme fatale who seeks to seduce her cartoonist creator in order to cross over into the real world. And it stars Gabriel Byrne, Kim Basinger, Jani Brin, and Brad Pitt.
A young Brad Pitt.
Very young Brad Pitt. And it's funny because he's... Well, okay, yeah. I mean, on IMDb, it's shown the casting is by who's on screen first. But when you look at the top of the page, his name isn't even listed as the stars. So he wasn't top billed at the time. So that lets you know,
right,
that this was way early in his career.
Yeah, this is like pre-7. After 7, you know, like, yeah, we need to look at this dude. And then after Fight Club, like, okay, we really need to look at this dude. He's the real deal. I had this conversation. You know how some actors, they have, it's always in their career, it's a movie that it's okay, this is pre so-and-so. And this is after, this is like pre-post this movie, because this movie just shot this person into the stratosphere. Like, right, they made him a household name. What movie you think was for Brad Pitt's? Like, it was pre this movie, post this, like, was like, okay, this is the movie that people are like, oh, this dude Brad Pitt, we need to give him some more money because he's like an A-lister now.
So I think there's actually two movies.
Okay.
I think there are, for the girls, there's one movie, and then for everyone else, there's another movie. I think for the general population and guys, it's definitely Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to guess for women, it was... I mean, for me, it was A River Runs Through It. He was fantastic in that, mm-hmm, which was after this. For some people, it's Thelma and Louise, because he plays like the hot little meat person.
Yeah. Because he bangs what? Was it Gina Davis or was it Susan Sarandon?
It was Gina Davis. Okay, Gina Davis. Yeah. But... I think Interview with a Vampire also.
Yes.
And then, so I think for a lot of women, Legends of the Fall was what really set him off, because I remember when Legends of the Fall came out and I hated the movie. I've only ever seen it once because it just, whatever. But lots of women, he looked... That entire movie, he looked like the cover of a romance novel. Like he had long blonde hair, and he looked like he should be on the cover of a romance novel. So I feel like Legends of the Fall really set him off, like set him up there for a character actor that a lot of women wanted to follow. Mm. For me, it was River Runs Through It.
Gotcha. So yeah, so that's when ladies start getting a little thirsty for some bread around those movies. Huh?
Yeah. But I feel like for guys and for everyone else, yeah, it's probably fun for
yeah. Yeah, because I think like Seven kind of had people know, like kind of stand, like kind of like sit up and like, oh, this Brad Pitt is pretty, he's interesting. And Fight Club was like, okay. Like he's right. Around like,
between A River Runs Through It and Fight Club, he played a lot of interesting characters. Like he was in California, he was like this, or is it California or True Romance, where he was the stoner on the
He is awesome.
He has a very short scene in it where he's smoking a bong on someone's sofa.
Yeah, and pretty much like telling. Like pretty much giving away everyone's location. Like they were like, oh yeah, where so and so? Oh man, he's over at the motel, man. And, you know, like he's like, the yeah, he was awesome.
And then he was in 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, he got. Didn't he get nominated for that? I think he got nominated for that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was also. He had like Meet Joe Black, which was a movie that was way too long and stupid. Where he plays, I think, the devil.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was in Being John Malkovich, also. Mm. Yeah. But Fight Club was really like the thing that probably made him most. Like most audiences were like, oh, okay. Brad Pitt, got it, yes.
True, true. All right, yeah. Yeah, cause I was learning, like, yeah, it's like, it's always that one movie with every, like, all actors, like, okay. Like, it was right. Before and after this movie that was like, okay.
Right. But for the ladies, two different types of ladies. There's the River Runs Through It, or, like, the natural people. And then there was a Legends of the Fall where I want my romance novel cover dudes. So
right on. So all right. So this film was released. It's interesting because they released this during summer. Like they were really banking on this film. Like, hey, let's make it a summer release. Let's make it a summer movie. The family.
I would imagine like this came out 4 years after Roger Rabbit, which was a huge success, and we'll cover that later in the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure they were thinking that other movies that were live action and animation have done really well, and maybe we can capitalize on that. But the budget for this was $30 million, and they only grossed at the box office $14 million, so they didn't even make their money back.
Yeah, pretty much. So like I said, so July 10th, 1992. So just to go back, this is what we were watching from 5 to 1. Jenna's favorite murderer, Murder She Wrote, was number 5. Murphy Brown, number 4. This is 92. Home Improvement, number 3. Let's see, Roseanne, number 2. 60 Minutes, number 1. Like that sliding scale there. All right. And okay, this is 92. 92. Yes, this song. Yes, 92. All right.
Wait, summer of 92.
Yes. It's a rap song.
Janet Jackson.
It's a rap song. It's the rap song. And it's not, I'm going to narrow it down. It's not from anyone from Death Row. It's not a Dr. Dre. It's not a Snoop Dogg.
Is it Run DMC?
It's not Run DMC. It's not Wu-Tang Clan.
Is it the White Boys from Brooklyn?
It's not Beasties. He did a couple of songs, but it's like his one hit.
Is Marky?
No. Good guess, but no.
LL Cool, it's not LL Cool.
Is that LL Cool J? And it's about, I mean, the song is about the celebration of a woman's body part.
Oh, Baby Got Back?
Hells yes. Oh my God. Becky, look at her butt. It is so bad. Ah, man. Oh, this song was so good back in the summer 1992. Everyone was playing his dance.
So yeah, I remember like definitely going out dancing and the DJ playing that a lot. to like you knew it was a certain time at night because that song would come on. Mm-hmm. Because prior to, I mean, I still had a curfew at this time, so I remember going to the nightclub and dancing. And right around 10:30 or 11, when all the like drunk people started really coming out to dance, that song would come on. I was like, okay, it's about time for me to head home.
That was like, okay, the last song. This is the last song before you go. That's such a good dance. It's such a good song to just like bounce around to. Oh.
Yeah, the DJ would play on like fun new wave music before. And then when you had all the norms come out, that's when you would go more towards the
Yeah, that's when the bass started coming in. Yes.
Nine Inch Nails and some of the other new wave music had some bass in there.
It did. But Sir Mix-a-Lot brought that 808s like bottom, just like when you hear it, it's like, oh, okay.
It's hard not to know that. Like when you hear the opening, yeah. You know that song.
Like I like it. And then like it, what's so clear about that song? Like that 808 bass come in right when he say butts. I like bit, and that bass just come right in. Like there you go, you timed that just right. But yeah, so that's what we were doing in 1992, and then this film came out in July 10th. Yeah, it's funny. Like I don't know how long it's been since I rewatched this film, but yeah, you know, rewatched it and. Yeah, this is a very unique film, to say the least. Yeah, and Heidi agrees with me on that one.
Yeah, she does. She does. But coming back to Cool World, which was, I definitely did not see this at the movie theater.
I did.
I think this is one of those films where I saw when I had insomnia. And it was on TBS, TNT, one of those things. And I was really tired when I watched it and was sort of like, what the fuck am I watching? And so I watched it for the real first time this past week. Mm-hmm. And I have thoughts.
And that's why we are reviewing this, so we can get deep inside the psyche of Jenna and her thoughts on Cool World.
So, I don't think I would have had these thoughts. I know I would not have had these thoughts if I had seen it in 92 when I was a little 17-year-old, you know, not well educated on all the racial disparities that are in social media or in really all media. But now that I've better educated myself, I had issues with this film. I don't feel like it's kid-friendly.
To your point, it was they actually originally wrote an R-rated script for Cool World, but Paramount, the studio, told them they have to, you know, do a PG-13 because they need that. They need to piggyback off of Roger Rabbit, you know, success, and they wouldn't do that with an R-rated movie. So that's kind of where I'm curious to see an R, like if they would have went R, I think it probably would have been a lot better.
Maybe, but what I'm talking about is not necessarily... Okay, so the premise of the story is that you have this world where it's all animated characters. Mm. And a live human gets sucked into it to sort of police that world in the 40s. And then we jump forward to, like, the 90s. And you have Hollywood, and that's spelled H-O-L-L-I, and then W-O-U-L-D. So it's not Hollywood, like LA. It's Holly, last name Wood.
If she could.
who's played by Kim Basinger, who's sort of the bad guy who wants to go and live in the real world, not in this animated world. And so she tries to seduce an animator to have sex with her so that she can become a human.
Mm-hmm. Who's played by Gabriel Byrne. He just got out of prison. It opens up kind of with his story. Like, he just got out of prison. He's like an illustrator, right? So right.
He illustrates comic books that are little like adult themed comic books, basically.
Right. So he thinks that he created Holly, but Holly has been around before, like, he even conceived Holly to draw. So he finds that out once he gets zapped into Cool World.
Yeah,
which is interesting. So the kind of the MacGuffin of the story, so to speak, is this is kind of like this needle on the rooftop of this Vegas casino that Holly is trying to get to in the real world. Once you get to that tower, that needle, and activate it, then she can spill all of like the Cool World to the real world, and
right, she can merge the two worlds so that there isn't a segregation between the two.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I respect her crusade to, like, you know, integrate. You know, we ain't talking about like gentrification, like in that kind of way. It's like, hey, we're just trying to like be together as one unified thing. Yeah,
right. So right before we started filming this, I went to go dive into the world of the director. Cool World was directed by
Ralph
Bakshi.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's Jewish, and he grew up in, I don't know where he grew up. I know where he was born, but I don't know where he grew up. But he grew up in an area that was pretty segregated. I imagine it was in the U.S. somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because the closest school to him was an all-black school. And he went there and he was escorted out because he was the only white kid. That must have sucked. But so initially when I was watching Cool World this past week, I was like, this is a total movie on segregation and how it's good and don't have sex with the people that aren't like us type of thing. But diving into his history, it's more along the lines of he was pro integration.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a secret commentary on all of that. So
yeah. I mean, you have to, you know, you have to commend Hollywood's crusade. I mean, it was a little, extreme, but I mean, she meant well.
My issue with the movie is the people that were pro segregation won in the end.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, if
this movie made me very angry when I watched it, and I had a very stressful week.
Oh no. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like
I mean, come on, the white cop telling who you can sleep with and who you can't,
right? Yeah.
And then going and destroying the woman's dream because she went and slept with someone and then opened up the world to anti-segregation.
Yeah,
it's bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind being a cartoon, you know. I'm cool with that. That's fine with me. I'll be a cool looking cartoon, actually. So yeah, and what Jenna mentioned about Ralph, when we were kind of scrolling through his history of what he'd done, you know, we discovered that he did some Spider-Man series, like the 68 Spider-Man with the original bomb intro. Yeah, so he did that. Fritz the Cat.
He did the animated Lord of the Rings back in 78, which is very cool.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings, American Pop. I mean, it's kind of like for like his audience are animators, like people who used to watch those adult themed cartoons, but they weren't porn. I mean, they were just more adult themes, but they were animated cartoons. Yeah, like like American Pop, Fritz the Cat, Fire and Ice. Those films were not aimed for families. They're just more like, hey, these stories are grown up stories. Which is interesting. So it makes sense that Cool World, which is his last animated of, you know, venture, you know, that was his last one. I think he stopped. I don't think he did anything after Cool World, if I'm not mistaken, far as a animated feature, which is very interesting. Yeah, I think after Cool World, after Cool World bombed, I think he was done. It's like, nah.
Yeah, I mean, he went to Comic-Con or like in the pressers for Cool World. He was like, if you like Roger Rabbit, you'll love Cool World. See, but Cool World definitely bombed. I feel like the difference between Cool World and Roger Rabbit is that there was a... Roger Rabbit had a really tight story.
Oh, yeah.
Cool World, I felt, jumped around a bit too much. It starts out in 1940s where you have this guy, Brad Pitt, on a motorcycle with his mom. He's in a car accident and then gets sucked into an animated world. And then all of a sudden it jumps towards 1990s. And you're introduced to the animator, this comic book writer who has drawn Hollywood. And then you're also introduced into the animated world where the guy that was on the bike, Brad Pitt, is now the police of the animated world. Mm. And it's just, it's not like a tight, cohesive story.
No.
Which is, like, I mean, maybe if it was rated R and he could have done what he wanted, it would have been better, but
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, like I said, it was a lot of... you could tell it was a lot of scaling back far as, like, I think what they wanted to do with the story and with Hollywood and the overall plot. It was very interesting. And plus, you know, when you go to Cool World is not really a place you want to be because it just seemed like it's just a lot of anarchy. Like, you know, it just like randomly drawn like cartoon characters just kind of bashing each other upside the head with, you know, bats and people running over each other and things just kind of randomly floating around. And I'm like, you know, this is not that place don't look so cool. It looks very almost like hell. It's called a hell world. Cause it's not, I don't think I would want to hang out in that area, that place, Cool World. It looks very violent and chaotic.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of feels like a ghetto.
Yeah, very much. Where everyone just like do like violent shit to each other.
Right. Yeah. And like everyone's sort of a criminal, but no one's worse, like, worse than everyone's a criminal, basically.
Yeah, very much. And then I think, you know, the last half of the movie, we finally see Kim Basinger. You know, coming, you know, from her Hollywood animated, you know, physical to actual Kim Basinger, which is always great to see because she was always cute back in the 90s and 80s.
Right. This was after Grease 2. Which I believe she was in,
Michelle Pfeiffer was in Grease too.
Oh, that was Michelle Pfeiffer.
I'm like, where were Kim Basinger in Grease too? Was she like one of the girlfriends?
just kidding.
I was like, Catwoman was in Grease too.
Yeah. Yeah. She was LA Confidential.
Yes, yes. Yeah, she got on.
She was Vicki Vale. She was in Batman also, but
So yeah, she was Vicki. And then she was Hollywood a couple of years later.
I mean, she was in Cellular with one of the Chris's. Chris Evans.
Yeah, I remember that film. Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah,
I mean, come on.
It was interesting. Yeah, and it's so funny, like how, like you were saying, they were playing up Cool World as like, hey, oh, and you know what? I think, me and my parents went to see this movie because off of the advertisement of, hey, if you like Roger Rabbit, you know, you gotta love Cool World. We're like, oh shit, like we love Roger Rabbit. So Cool World's gonna be right up our alley. I think when the film went off in credits, I don't think any of us said anything. I think we kind of walked out the theater silent. We just like, what did we just watch? Like, that was not Roger Rabbit at all.
I feel like that's acceptable.
Yeah, I was like, man, we were bamboozled. Like, the advertising did not, they steered us wrong with this movie. It's funny. Here's, I want to read a little something Roger Ebert said in the beginning of his review. He gave it 1 star, by the way. He said, the DJ who was hosting the radio station's free preview of Cool World leaped onto the stage and promised the audience, if you like Roger Rabbit, you'll love Cool World. He was wrong. But if you can't, but you can't blame him. He hadn't seen the movie. I have. And I will now promise you that if you like Roger Rabbit, quit while you're ahead.
But the music in the movie is fantastic.
Yes, it was a good soundtrack. I definitely give that.
It is electronic dance and rock songs.
Yeah,
it has musicians like David Bowie and Moby and Neil Tennant doing some of the music. So the soundtrack did gain critical acclaim and popularity. You even had a song in there by Electronic, which is the name of a band. Don't know. That was released in the film soundtrack. The band actually didn't release it until 2006. So it was one of those times where the only time you could get the music from a band you liked was to actually get the soundtrack for a movie.
Yeah. See, that's what soundtracks were, soundtracks back in the day.
There's a Depeche Mode song that still is only available from the Say Anything soundtrack.
Yeah, they don't do soundtracks anymore, which is sad. They don't do movie soundtracks anymore. It sucks.
The 80s and 90s were the best time for soundtracks.
Yeah, the soundtrack renaissance, definitely. 80s and 90s. Like, you are just buy the movie soundtrack because the movie soundtracks were amazing.
Yeah. The single soundtrack. I could listen to that for hours.
Yeah. So. Wasn't that like the unofficial grunge collaboration? Yeah. Yeah. It's like, hey, you guys like grunge? Listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah. I mean, you had Soundgarden and Pearl Jam in the movie, so
Didn't Alice in Chains have a song in that on that soundtrack?
They did, yeah. And Jimi Hendrix and Mother Love Bone and a few other people. Yeah,
that was a good soundtrack. Yeah, can't argue against that one. But yeah. Right,
so to your earlier point that this movie should have been rated R. The director, he originally had Hollywood's name as Debbie Dallas.
Nice.
And for those that aren't familiar with porn history, in 78, the first porn that came out that had like a cohesive story was Debbie Does Dallas. So it was a callback to old school porn.
Yeah.
And Tracy Lord was supposed to play Hollywood, but the studio went with Kim Basinger instead, and Tracy Lords is a famous porn star.
Yeah. Wait a minute, wasn't she the one that almost like brought down the porn industry because like she came into the industry like underage, but she lied about her age?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She's infamous. Like she's single. She almost brought down the industry. Like, damn it, you almost ruined everything, Tracy. But yeah, I'm glad they didn't pick her because, you know, she needed to be punished for that. But yeah, so yeah, Kim was cool. I mean, she was fun. She was fine. She was all right. I mean, yeah. I mean, given the material she had and the script that she had, I mean, pretty much the principal characters did the best with what they had. I mean, I don't blame the actors.
Yeah, no, you have to work with what you are delivered. But going back to the director, he actually, some of his work is actually in the Museum of Modern Art in New York, and is part of their collection and preserved. So we may not like, personally, I may not like Cool World, but he definitely has some art out there that is respected by other artists.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, like I say, he's been around, so he's definitely an artist and like an animator and things like that, that, you know, if you want to go down that rabbit hole, we have plenty of material for you to, you know, check out. Yeah.
Why did we decide to review this movie? I know, like, we set up our entire month of September for family-friendly films of what we were going to review. Why did we pick this film?
You was like, yeah, let's do Cool. It was another movie I wanted to do. I was like, because I was like, Roger Rabbit, and we're going to do something else. Oh, Space Jam. I was like, let's do Roger Rabbit, Space Jam. You're like, no, let's do Cool World. I'm like, okay. All right, that's what you want to do. We'll do it. All right. Because, yeah.
Don't listen to me when I'm drinking.
All right. Sorry. I mean, because I thought I was fine with Space Jam and Roger Rabbit. You're like, no, let's do Cool World. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's do Cool World. I will. That's cool. Actually, you know, and plus, like, it gave me an opportunity to rewatch it. I mean, you know. Yeah, I rewatched it. should we just go into unless there's other tidbits that you found that we need to know about this movie or the director.
So the ratings are: sit on the sofa, watch it with your kids. You'd rather do homeschool, virtual learning with the kids, or go out to the playground.
So that's three. So that's our three ratings.
Yeah.
Yes.
How are you rating it?
I'm definitely not sitting down with the kids with this one because I don't want to reenact the situation when me and my parents actually went to see this in theaters. Like, I want that awkward situation with you and your family if you have to sit down and watch it. So no, don't sit down and watch this movie. Like, if it's you and some grown-ups and y'all down some beers and maybe smoke the J, go watch it. It's a good, you know, kind of like, yeah, this is weird. I'm buzzed. So this is awesome. But with your kids, no. So I would, in the context of a family film, I would go outside. This is a go outside. If it's in the context of everyone just kind of like drunk or high, just want to watch something crazy and weird, yes, this is a sit down.
Agree 100% with your rating. Like the third act of the film where the characters are popping between live action
and animated. Yeah.
Like, that entire scene is absolutely amazing.
The rotoscope is cool. Yeah.
I can throw away.
Right. Yeah. To your point. Yeah, it was a really cool, like, rotoscoping at the end, like, when they kind of pop it, like, boop, 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 boop. Yeah, that was really cool. Yes. So, that's the... It's the first time I ever had to give, like, a a specific rating. It's like, because it's more adult than kids film, you know?
Yeah, especially like the whole scene where Hollywood sleeps with the animator in order to become human, which I think that was a scene where I was like, this reminds me so much of racial history, that you shouldn't sleep with black people because then you'll be bad and everything. And I was just like, oh, stop it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it like you're saying, there was definitely a lot of like subtext there. If they would have kind of focused a little more on that, it would have like story wise, it would have been like, oh, okay, I see what you guys are trying to say with this movie. But it was like you say, it was just all over the place. It was just like, yeah.
I wanted them to pick like one thing and really deliver the message, and they didn't. But to your point, if you're really drunk or high or taking psychedelics and you're watching the last act where they're jumping between live action and animation, maybe you'll thoroughly enjoy this.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you might get some excitement out of that. Who knows?
Or be messed up for life.
Yeah, you know, hey. The pendulum swings anyway, you will swing. Cool. So there you have it, guys. Cool World. So we would have some a little more family friendly come Thursday that I'm sure the general consensus will agree with us on. And so Thursday, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wear a mask.
Yes. Peace.